I'm Jody, the mom.
And I'm Dr. Barr, the doc.
And this is Mom and Doc Talk, where we talk all things healing pans and pandas.
We bring together the mom experience and the doc expertise to give you the information and tools you need to help make the next right decision to get your child back.
Let's dive in.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Mom and Doc Talk. Jody and I are so thrilled to welcome our guest today. It's such a gift that we're able to have parents come and join us to talk about their experiences with pans and pandas and helping their kids and their families recover from it, because this is truly a family condition. I am over the moon when I get to talk to a dad, and we have a dad that we get to talk to today. Before we got started recording, I was just saying how I am beyond excited to have the guest that we have today. And I'm sure you guys will all understand very shortly why I'm so excited, and that you will all feel just as excited by the end of this too. So I'm here to introduce Andrew Botsford. Andrew grew up in Oregon in a big family. He was the oldest of 8 kids. He lives in Oklahoma with his wife of 23 years, Sarah, and their 3 kids who are 20, 18, and 15. He is an electrical distribution salesman and a girls volleyball coach. His favorite things to do are fishing, cooking, and coaching youth sports. And he is an active member in our Facebook group. So if you are not a member of our Facebook group by the end of this episode, you're probably going to want to be a member, because you're going to get to talk to this guy sometimes. And it's a real gift to the community to have Andrew as part of our group. So thank you so much for going beyond the group, Andrew, and joining us for the podcast.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
So you gave us the basics, but I would love to get to know just a little bit more about you. And one of the things that I remember so clearly that you posted in the group one time, you posted something calling out to all the dads to bring them out of the shadows. And you described yourself as a normal dude who likes sports, fishing, and grilling out with a cold beer in his hand. I would really love to just know a little bit more about who you are and what makes you tick.
Yeah, for sure. So I think, first of all, I'm the only pans dad that I know. So it wasn't until I kind of got involved with that Facebook group and that community where I kind of realized that there just wasn't a whole lot of other dads that were maybe engaging a whole bunch. And I kept hearing comments like, oh my gosh, you're one of the only dads we've seen that's this involved with your daughter's care and this and that. And it kind of blew my mind. I mean, it doesn't really make sense to me, but yeah, so I don't know, for any dads that happen to see some of my posts or comments, I mean, I just want to make sure that they knew. I mean, I truly am just a normal dude. Like, I'm simple. I love to just be at home with my family. I have no medical knowledge or experience or anything like that. And just kind of fumbling my way through it like everybody else.
Yeah, I think that totally matters, because I think that sometimes, especially in the natural medicine and homeopathy worlds, that there can be a belief that it's either for women, or that the guys who are more active and engaged are a certain kind of guy, you know, maybe like a more woo-woo, not, like you said, the guy who wants to watch sports, go fishing, grill, and drink a cold beer or whatever. And so I really, really appreciated that, because the reality is all pans kids, or most pans kids, have dads, but you don't see the dads show up as much. And, you know, there is just a component of that we have to divide things up. You divide labor in a home on a regular basis, but especially when you're dealing with something like pans. So I understand that sometimes that's just the way that things, you know, fall out. And it's a very lonely place to go through the stuff that you go through with pans. Yeah. And it's even lonelier if you're a guy who's just not connecting with anybody who understands. You know, we've got an epidemic of loneliness in men in general, and then you add something like pans on top of it, and you just create a really big opportunity to feel unbelievably isolated and confused and scared and all of the things, which I'm hoping that we can talk a little bit about today.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I think it was so unusual having a dad interacting in the group. It was you that I kept calling mama, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Like, I called you mama like 3 times, I think. And I was like, oh my gosh, I have to stop doing this. And I don't know if I just assumed that it was, you know, someone interacting on her husband's account. But then once I like finally realized, I was like, okay, this is a dad that's like engaging over and over again. It's just a super exciting thing, because we don't have a lot of a dad's inner engaging, like Dr. Barr said. So
yeah, I mean, you automatically thought it was a mom because that's probably 99% of who's on that page posting stuff. So yeah, I get it.
Yeah, it's awesome though. It's awesome that you're giving a voice to dads and also allowing dads to see that it's okay to connect, because I think that there's, you know, it's harder for men to connect in that aspect than it is for women. So let's go all the way back to kind of when PANS showed up in y'all's life. Tell us a little bit about what that looked like.
Yeah, so my daughter was about 10 years old. You know, looking back, there probably were some warning signs early on that we didn't think anything of, but it really started when she was in school and started having some major problems where the teacher would call us and she would have some kind of, I don't know if episode's the right word, but just like a severe anxiety attack in the middle of class. She'd have to leave. My wife actually worked at the school and she'd be like wandering the halls, trying to find her, kind of freaked out, crying. And it, you know, it happened a few times and it was really just kind of the first time we've ever dealt with anything like that. So that was where it started. And my wife knew right away something was really wrong. She quit her job without even talking to me. And I was like, "You did what?" And I mean, she knew like way before I did. And that's like, dads, you got to listen to those moms. They know. And my wife knew. It took me a while. It wasn't that I didn't believe any of it. I just thought it was like, okay, this is some kind of behavioral thing. We can find an answer. Counseling, we'll find some meds or something. And so, I mean, that kind of progressed. And we ended up pulling her out of school for a while because it just wasn't working. And I don't remember exactly how long, if it was days or weeks. And then I'm sure it was me pushing this, but we're like, all right, the longer we stay out of school, the harder this is going to get. Like, she's got to go back. And so we decided, and like I said, I don't remember exactly how long it was, but so my wife started taking her, and very quickly she's like, I can't do this anymore. She's freaking out when we drop her off. And so I was like, all right, I'll take care of it. I'll take her to school. And I think I did it once, and man, it was eye-opening. I mean, the whole way there was just sobbing. And we get there, and I mean, they literally had to pry her off of me. I mean, she was grabbing my neck as hard as she could, and I just had to pry her off, and it was awful. I mean, it haunts me to this day. And we didn't know any better. We thought we were doing the right thing. I don't even remember if she made it through that whole day or if I went back and picked her up. I don't remember. But we ended up pulling her out of school pretty quick after that. And it's kind of when the symptoms started just piling on, where anxiety became separation anxiety. She couldn't go anywhere. We couldn't leave her at the house. It even got to the point where she couldn't leave the house, even with us. And she started, the timeline of all this is a little fuzzy to me. I probably should have written it down or something, but night times became really, really difficult. She would almost be kind of scared to go to bed. And when we finally got her in there, she would bawl for hours. I mean, not just like crying, but like bawling for hours and hours. And that lasted, I think, a couple months. It was tough. We had no clue what we were dealing with or how to deal with it. So I think the first thing we did was took her to her doctor, her pediatrician, who actually, probably talk more about this later, but she is actually a functional medicine doctor who kind of specializes in PANS. We hadn't even heard the word PANS yet, but we went there and I think all we mentioned was, man, she's having anxiety. What do you have for that? Mm-hmm. And she had something mild. I don't remember what it was, LDN or something like that. And it did nothing. So she referred us to a psychiatrist, went to her for a few months. And, you know, we tried a couple different SSRI type things, and it did nothing. I mean, it didn't even scratch the surface. So she put on something a little like heavier. I don't remember what it was. And it didn't do anything. And so she's like, guys, I don't really feel comfortable. Like, I feel like beyond this, we're going to some pretty heavy duty stuff that I really don't like to give to a kid to say. She's 10 years old. And, mm-hmm. around this time, another symptom that started was my daughter was getting these head pains. And I haven't really heard many people talk about this as a symptom. It wasn't like a headache, but it was like an intense pain that would last for 15 to 30 seconds. And it started out maybe one or two a day. And I still to this day don't know how they figured this out. Somehow my wife and daughter figured out that if my wife would like squeeze her head, somehow it like provided relief, which I'm still like, how did you guys ever figure that out? So I think we mentioned that to the psychiatrist. So she was starting to think like traumatic brain injury. She was asking, you know, has she fallen on her bike, on her scooter? And we're like, gosh, not that we can remember. So it was all getting really intense and really difficult and concerning at this point. I mean, just the night times and just the crazy anxiety. And of course, you know, every med that you try, they're like, you got to give it 6 weeks before we know. Mm-hmm. So we try one, go for 6 weeks. Nothing would happen. We try another one. So I think my wife and I remember this differently. I remember her being the first one to mention pandas. I don't think she was well-versed in pans, but she mentioned pandas. And so she gave her a strep test. I came back negative. And then we ended up back at the functional medicine provider. And, you know, I don't really remember getting like a official PANS diagnosis. I think it was just kind of a consensus. Like, I think that's what we're dealing with. I think there's brain inflammation. And so that was kind of when we began a long road of different treatments with that doctor.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was your wife that said that initially mentioned pandas?
I feel like my wife, I mean, she was the one that was like, I think like most moms do, immediately like on Google, you know, day and night looking stuff up. And I believe she had run across PANS. I'd never heard of it. Neither one of us had.
Yeah.
And then the psychiatrist was the one that mentioned pandas.
Oh, it was the psychiatrist who did. Okay.
Did the strep test and that was negative. Yeah. Which was really interesting. We feel so blessed. Like both her and her doctor were both at least familiar with it. Mm-hmm. You know, so many of the stories I hear, like their doctors don't believe it's a real thing or, I mean, that was a battle we didn't have to fight. And I'm just really thankful for that because I don't know where we would have ended up. So.
Sure. What a blessing that was.
So yeah, we started, of course she ordered labs and stuff. We didn't do the whole like Cunningham panel. We didn't do any of that stuff. So, you know, she ordered labs, blood work. And she goes, in the meantime, I'm going to prescribe donkey milk for her. I was just like, oh my gosh. Okay, we're in for a wild ride here. I don't know if you guys have heard of this family. There's a family in Oklahoma that it's actually an amazing story. Their daughter has pandas. And so we got hooked up with them and we would drive probably, I don't know, once a month to go pick up a whole bunch of raw donkey milk and bring it back. And, it's definitely 100% like a part of our journey and getting us to where we are now. I really believe that. Just the different people that connected us with. And I really feel like it helped at first. It definitely did. So I don't remember exactly how long we were on that. And then the labs started coming back. So she goes, hey, I think mold might be an issue for her. And we're like, okay. And then I'm trying to think what the other, there's mycoplasma, like just, it wasn't much, but it was there. And so we started doing a mold protocol. I don't remember exactly what it was. I think it was like biocidin. We bought an infrared sauna, binders, just all that kind of stuff. And man, she did see improvement. I mean, things definitely started getting better for a bit. And then we didn't know at the time, we didn't know that our house had a mold issue. So we had no clue. And that's the tough thing about that, right? Like, is it at school? Is it at church? Is it at home? Mm-hmm. So she did get better for a little bit and then started getting worse again. Man, the head pain started getting really, really bad. I remember it super vividly. I was driving to work. I remember exactly where I was. And my wife called me. She's like, babe, they're getting so bad. She's having so many of them. And I remember I flipped a UE in my truck and I said, get her ready. I'm taking her to the hospital. So I went and picked her up and took her to OU Children's. And I just had this feeling in me like, I'm not leaving here without an answer. Like this place of any place should be able to figure out what's wrong with her. And of course we were like, is it a brain tumor? Is it, what the heck is it? We don't know. So, of course, by the time we get there, she has no symptoms. But they could tell, I was clearly in distress. And thank God my wife got there quickly because I was not handling things well. I kind of felt like, I don't remember the name of the movie, but Denzel Washington goes and like takes a hospital hostage and trying to get treatment for his son.
Yeah.
And, I just was, I don't know if agitated is the best word for it, but just not doing well. And the first thing they did, which I understand why now, but they're like, okay, we need to do a urine test. We need to do a pregnancy test on your daughter. I kind of flipped out. I was like, she's 10 years old. You were not doing a pregnancy test on her. There was this nurse that she was just so kind. She saw I was struggling and she just kind of pulled me aside and she's like, look, she doesn't need to know. We have to do it. It's just something we have to do. Just in case we have to give her something with the people that come in here, we never know what's going on. It's part of our protocol. We have to do it. And so finally we get in there and my wife shows up and they do all kinds of different neurological tests on her. And they're like, guys, not seeing anything here. And I'm like, man, we're trying to explain what's going on. And they're like, is she having it right now? Is she in pain? No, but earlier today she was, and she has been for the last couple months. And so finally, I basically just insisted, like, we're not leaving until you do a CAT scan or an MRI or something. I'm not leaving until we do that. And they're like, okay. So they ordered one and we did it. And of course, just showed nothing, which I guess at the time was kind of a relief. It's like, okay, we don't have a brain tumor. At least we know that. And, you know, I just kind of feel like every different doctor and nurse and everyone that was a part of our journey, even if we didn't get an answer or we didn't get help, like they were still a part of our journey and helped us get where we are now. And so we left there with no answers, but the attending physician came. I mean, she sat with us for like close to an hour and they gave her something in an IV. I don't remember what it was. It basically made her fall asleep. And I think they were trying to treat like migraines or something. And that's kind of what we left with. They're like, well, we feel like it's some form of migraine. And, so just another, I mean, we left and like had no answers still. So we just kept continuing down that. I mean, it was a couple of years of just different, I mean, just doing a little better than getting worse, doing a little better, getting worse. You know, by the end of it, you're on like 20 different supplements and you go for your appointment and it's like, well, do you feel like this one's helping? I'm just like, I don't remember why we're on these anymore. Like I knew what some of them did, but I didn't know what the other ones did. And our doctor was absolutely amazing. I mean, she is my hero in a lot of ways. Like she got us through a lot of really, really tough times and she understood us. She believed us. She worked so hard for us. So, I mean, we just kept just going down that path for so long and we would see some wins for sure. And then we'd go right back to where we were. And I mean, just every PANS and PANS parent knows that feeling, like everyone. And, so then eventually we get to the point where it's like, well, okay, let me back up. We found the mold in our house and we had just remodeled and there were some built-in cabinets and it, long story short, there was a leak in the chimney and it, we had no idea. Like we hadn't seen any water coming in and but my wife's like, I smell it in the office. I can smell mold. And so we rip it out and it's like, oh my God. I mean, it was really, really bad. So it's like, okay, well, that's where, in a way that was kind of nice. Like, okay, we know where she got exposed. So we had a professional company come in, destroyed our house and remediated it, got it all out. And then so our doctor's like, okay, so you got rid of the mold source. Let's keep doing what we're doing. And, you know, she did show some improvement for sure. But then the same old story, just it would start getting bad again. Gosh, like I said, I don't remember the exact timeline of everything, but at some point, I just, I don't know.
It's so hard.
You're not alone.
Every single thing that you're sharing, I'm like, oh my, like this is, what you're sharing is a piece of all of our trauma. Cause in one way, shape or form, we've all been through this same thing. And I have to say, what a blessing these providers who stick with us are, because I know there's a lot of them that don't, aren't willing to see it, aren't willing to acknowledge it, but also there's a handful of providers and thank God for them. Thank God for the providers, the kind of progression of providers that you had that actually understood. I want to take us backwards just a tiny bit. You've shared so much about your journey already and so much of what your daughter experienced. It really helps families to hear about the symptoms that kids are having. Can you share? I know that you talked about her anxiety and about some of her sleep stuff and her head pain, but also it's a snowball and typically it rolls into more as you go along. Did she have other symptoms? And if so, can you talk to us a little bit about those?
Yeah, the anxiety got real, real severe. It got to the point where, and this is another thing I'm really thankful for, was I'm trying to remember what she gave us. The psychiatrist gave us, I think it was Ativan, maybe something. She basically just said it was like, this is like an emergency. If you have to use it, you can use it. And we did multiple times because her anxiety got so bad she wouldn't leave her bed basically. So like we couldn't go to appointments unless we drugged her up, for the lack of a better word. So her like going to school or anything like that was out of the question. I mean, we couldn't even get her out of the house with us. And I mean, you know, I tried all the things as a dad, you know, the pep talks the night before, the morning of, like, you can do this. We got this. I'll be with you. And obviously that wasn't what she needed. So yeah, the anxiety, OCD, like maybe in some different forms, and some of the folks I've heard talk about it, but definitely was there. I'm trying to think of some examples, like just nighttime routine stuff where has to say I love you X many times. I remember in the summer she'd go out on her bicycle like 20 times. She would go out, get on it, take like one lap around the cul-de-sac, come back in, and then like exactly, I mean, whatever internal clock she had, 20 minutes later went out and did the same thing, and would do that like 10 times a day. Which, I mean, she was riding her bike, exercise, it was good, but it was just kind of like, I mean, that was obviously some kind of obsessive thing going on.
Yeah, compulsion that she had to do it, yeah.
Compulsion, yeah. And then probably my most hated symptom was the intrusive thoughts. It got really, really bad for her, and those are the ones that just made me just so angry at the whole situation, because they were awful. You know, for her sake, I'm not going to get specific on those, but man, just, I think most parents are probably pretty familiar with them, and just awful. You can tell her like, hey, this is not your thought. I know this is not your thought. Your mom knows this is not yours. And they're just terrible. Like she would think things about us or about herself, or, I mean, that was just brutal, and that lasted for years. And it got really bad at night, especially like, for whatever reason, maybe that's a normal thing, but night times were the toughest. That's when all that stuff would just set in. And anxiety, I'm trying to think what other. She never had any like food restrictions, anything like that.
Did she have any tics or rage or urinary issues?
Yeah, tics for sure. She would like eye blinking, like constant, just doing that a bunch. And then like a little vocal grunt. Those would kind of come and go. And we were like, was that a tick? I mean, it seemed like it was. Some of them would last longer than others. But yeah, ticks for sure. She definitely had those.
Did she have any? So no rage, it sounds like. It was really anxiety was driving things, for especially as kids are starting to get older and going through puberty and such. But even without that, just the way that the anxiety drives so much of how you think and how you engage and interact with the world, depression can start to show up sometimes. And depression is not really a specific thing for PANS or PANDAs, but it comes along with so many kids. And I'm just curious if she had any of that.
Probably. I think it all would kind of tie together, extremely discouraged, extremely lonely, and probably depressed too. I mean, as a result of all that, I mean, just gosh, I mean, how do you make friends when you can't go anywhere? You can't be anywhere. Yeah. And so that was really tough as a parent too. I mean, more than anything, she wanted to, and she couldn't. So that was tough.
Well, Andrew, you've done such a great job sharing so much about what you've already experienced and how you had answers, but not solutions for some things. You at least had an answer. It's not this thing, but we still don't know what it is. And so we don't know how to deal with it. And a lot of things, I'm curious, actually, just because somebody might need to hear this. I'm curious if the head pain started after she saw the psychiatrist and was on psychiatric medications or had changed any psychiatric medications.
No, it was before that.
It was before the segments. Okay.
And I don't think it changed one way or the other.
Yeah. Because that can be a side effect of some psychiatric medications and like brain zaps in particular, especially coming off of SSRIs, which you mentioned that she'd been on. That can be a symptom. And, mm-hmm. and it's just an important thing for people to, one, be aware of that can happen. And two, that sometimes the side effects that you have from a medication or even from withdrawal, if you're not helping address it with something healing like homeopathy, sometimes they last longer than you would expect. They can be persistent. But it sounds like this was more organic for her and more part of her presentation. And it does happen for some kids having, you know, cluster headaches, migraines, random head pain, you know, that is part of the PANS presentation. All right. So PANS, you learned about through your psychiatrist and your wife doing a lot of research. And you happened to also see a pediatrician already who had some awareness of it and some experience with it. So super lucky there. But now you're here, here talking to us, obviously, about homeopathy. So can you tell us about how you found your way to homeopathy and how you learned about it?
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, we kind of get to this point where we've tried all these things. And I'm constantly looking, you know, what's the next thing? What's the next thing? And I'd asked our doctor one time, like, hey, if money was not an issue, like what would your plan be? And she said, I would do like every lab under the sun. I'd get all the info, all the data I could. And I mean, of course, every one of those labs is $300, $500. I mean, they're crazy expensive. But so the next kind of rabbit hole we went down was Lyme. And so that came back. And I mean, she popped positive for a couple strains on that. And, you know, her doctor was like, well, for like a normal kid coming off the streets, I wouldn't call this Lyme disease. But for a PANS kid, any elevated levels can be concerning. And so she started talking about treatments for that. I don't remember what it's called. SOT, maybe. I don't remember what it stands for, but getting a blood sample, we're mailing it to Switzerland, or they do some kind of genetic something or other, send it back. And you have to do one of those for every strain of Lyme. And she's like, oh yeah, we've only tested for a couple. So how many of these are we going to have to do? And so, I mean, we just kind of went back and forth on that, trying to decide what to do. I don't remember if I was on a Facebook page or what I was on, but I ran across a podcast that the title of it grabbed my eye, and it was like Mold and PANS. And so I listened to this, and I don't even remember which podcast it was or who the doctor was or anything, but she talks about this protocol she does for PANS kids that have been exposed to mold, and it just grabbed me. Like, it gave me this just burst of hope, like, oh my gosh. And so, you know, this day and age, I probably could have used AI to do this, but I listened to this podcast like forward and backwards for hours, for days, and wrote every little thing down. And I don't recommend that anybody does this, by the way, but we sourced these different herbal remedies. Remedies, maybe not the right word. It was an herbal protocol. We had to order several different things, and it was, you know, she said, you're going to do this for 6 months to a year. And so we talked about it, and we're like, man, what have we got to lose? You know, let's go for it. And so that next year, we did it for about 6 months, and she did get better. And this was after we remediated the house. And man, we started to get really, really hopeful. Like, oh my gosh, did we finally figure this out? And man, she, bless her heart, she was really behind in school by this point too. So she kind of took it on herself to do this math tutoring every single day on summer break, because she wanted to be ready for school. And so this was, I guess, going into eighth grade. And so all that summer, I mean, she's doing pretty good. She's working her butt off to get ready to go back to school. And man, the amount of courage that girl had to go back to school after all that. Mm-hmm. And she did it. Dropped her off. My wife and I went together. And it was amazing. After all that, she went to school. And man, it went really well for about 2 months. And then the nightmare just kind of started all over, where she started crying at drop off. And she started crying at school and having the same anxiety attacks. And I think it lasted about 3 months, and we ended up having to pull her back out. And I just remember her just sobbing like I've never heard her cry before. Just the grief and the disappointment after we'd all been so hopeful that we finally made it. You know, we finally beat this. Mm-hmm. And then we're right back at square one, or even worse. So that was kind of before Christmas. So, I mean, we tried to do everything we could to cheer her up. We're like at the last minute, switching gears, trying to figure out homeschooling or online, or what are we going to do? And so we let her decorate her room for Christmas. And she went all out with candles and all this stuff and just basically in her room 24/7. And I think that just to pile onto all this, those candles were like extremely toxic for her.
Yeah.
And man, she went downhill real, real bad. And so now all of a sudden we're 4 years into this and she's worse than she was at the beginning. All the stuff was back and worse. And so, I mean, yeah, we were just like, oh my gosh. And so that's when we went back to her doctor, like hat in hand. I take her all these stupid bottles of stuff we've been taking. And I'm like, this is what we've done. I don't know if it was a mistake. And her doc, I mean, just, she's a saint, just amazing. I mean, I expect her to just chew my butt. Like, you idiot, what are you doing? But she understands. And she's like, okay, I think this is kind of similar to what we tried the first time around. Let's assume she got exposed to mold at school. And let's stay honest and see what happens. Get rid of those candles out of her room. And so we did that for another few months and it kept getting worse. It was awful. And so now we're at this point where we're back to square one, like desperately researching everything. And as you guys know, you get on these Facebook groups and like, so I'm on a mold group and, you know, I don't want to downplay anything that anybody's posting or like the journey that they've been through. But oh my gosh, some of the stances that are taken are like, if you had mold in your house, you basically need to get rid of everything you own.
Burn it to the ground.
You need to move. Exactly. Clothes, everything. If it was in your house, it's in your HVAC system now. So I'm sitting on that like, okay, is that really what we do? And I went down the rabbit trail. I mean, there's these foggers and sprays and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. But then I'm also thinking about Lyme. We never did anything about the Lyme. And our doctor had mentioned IVIG, hopeless. And just like paralyzed is the best word I can think of. Like we knew we had to do something. We had no idea what it was. And meanwhile, my daughter's just getting worse and worse and worse. And just felt like a complete failure. And like, maybe this kind of speaking to the dads a little bit where, you know, our job is to protect our family, right? To protect our house. Our house is a safe place for our family. And I couldn't even do that for my daughter. Like, our house made her sick. And, I suffered from some really intense guilt about that. I'm supposed to keep her safe. I'm supposed to protect her. And I couldn't even do that. She couldn't even come home from school and be in a safe place for her. So, I mean, this went on for months. We didn't know what to do. And as tough as some of those Facebook groups were, where they're overwhelming and too much information and discouraging, somehow I landed on yours. I don't know how. I don't remember how. And I stayed on it for a while, probably, and my wife did too. 6 months, a year. And I had no idea what homeopathy was. I thought it was like crushing up roots and powders. I didn't know. And so I think my wife was the first one who was like, man, maybe we try homeopathy. And so I said, okay, well, let me reach out to this group that I've seen. So I think that's when I contacted Resilience and got a call back shortly thereafter.
Desperation led you to us, which is what I'm hearing. And that's what led so many people to homeopathy and to us is desperation. And I'm very grateful for all the families like yours who are willing to share more and more and more, because we have a lot more people who are coming to homeopathy sooner. If I could do one thing to help families, it would be to give them the patience to stick with it early on, because for some, I feel like there still is this thing that even people who come to homeopathy first and early, they get in their heads that they need to do all the things and try all the things. And what if I'm missing something? And what if I'm doing, you know, all that? That's maybe just part of being a PANS parent, is that things just get so overwhelming. And you came to us out of desperation, and you came to us also, you found your way to homeopathy depleted, because you'd been at this for many, many years and lots of ups and downs. It sounds like a couple of times with mold and just your head spinning with all of the things that could possibly be contributing and all of the things that are impacting her body. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Frustration's a good word for it. I mean, we had nowhere else to turn. And it's like, well, what do we have to lose? And even still, so I don't remember if I called or if I reached out on the website. I can't remember. Bridget called me back. And I think I was with a customer. I didn't answer. And I don't know why. I think I was still just so overwhelmed and just felt so stuck. I didn't even call her back. And she called me back a second time, which is incredible. I don't know why you guys do that, but I'm so glad you did.
Because we have Pan's parents who work for us. Yeah, it's because they're Pan's parents who know what you're going through. Like, I can say one thing, you know, we understand, and we want to make sure that we give people the opportunity to connect without being pushy. And so hopefully we did not feel there was any pushiness other than, hey, just wanted to make sure we didn't drop things because we know how it goes with Pan's families, and that, you know, maybe you wanted to talk to us at one point, and your world might have just completely crashed and fallen apart, and you just forgot to pick up the phone and give us a call back. So here we are again, yeah, just in case.
That's pretty much what she said. So it's another conversation. I just remember every single bit of it. I remember where I was. I was driving. So she starts asking our story. I don't know, it's maybe a 20-minute phone call, but I think it was the first time I'd ever really shared it with anybody because no one understands. Like, there's all the friends and family that ask how she's doing. And then a year later, you're given the exact same answer. Like, well, we're still having a hard time. And it's just hard for people to understand. But anyways, so I'm talking to Bridget, and immediately I could tell she understands. And the way she's talking to me, the questions she's asking, she believes me. I broke down on the phone. And man, she was so, so kind. Like, I'll never forget that phone call. She just said, I think we can help your girl. I really believe we can help your girl. So came home, told my wife about it, talked with our daughter. And she's like, well, what is homeopathy? I'm like, I still don't know, but I think we should find out more about it. And so we scheduled the intake appointment. And I think that was like a month and a half later after that, something like that.
Yeah. So keep going. We're kind of standing at the starting line. Talk to us about what that healing journey has been like. How's it gone with homeopathy?
So we had the appointment. It went well. I mean, I was just shocked at like the amount of info she was asking for and just how in-depth that appointment was. And then we get to the end of it and she gives us this remedy. It's got this long, fancy name. And I'm like, oh man, what is that? You know, it sounds like something cool. And she's like, well, it's basically like a form of salt. I was like, what? Salt? Everything we've tried, we're going with salt? And we were just so beaten down at that point. I just didn't have a ton of hope for anything. But anyway, so we started. And I mean, 2 or 3 months in, drastic improvement. Like we had never seen before. And I'm not exaggerating. It's one of those things where my wife and I looked at each other. It was one night or something where it's like, has she texted you tonight? Because that was kind of always her thing. Like, she'd go to bed and then all the thoughts would start, all the anxiety, and she would text us about it. It was sometimes too hard for her to come out and say in person, so she would text us. And so I go, it's probably just a fluke. Maybe she's tired. I'm not feeling good. She fell asleep. It kept getting better. And I think still at the beginning, kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop, like, okay, this is great, but I'm sure it's not going to last. And then before you know it, I mean, it just kept getting better and better and better. It's like, holy crap, I think this is working. And it's been the most unbelievable last year for us and for our daughter. We were to the point where I kind of thought this is just where we're at. Like, we're going to have to figure out how to deal with this the rest of our lives. And we will. Like, whatever she needs, we're there for her. But man, I had made this promise to her over and over and over again. I mean, anytime things got tough, I would tell her that I will not give up until we find something that helps you. I don't care how long it takes. I don't care how much it costs. Like, if we try something that doesn't work, I'm moving on to the next thing. Like, I will not stop. And I mean, I kept that promise. My wife and I did. We tried all the things. I remember
You really did.
Neurofeedback. And I mean, and every time we're like, oh man, this might be it. I've read so many good things about this. And so this was the first time that I actually believed that we may have found something that was going to help her long term. So from the time she started until now, it's just been like one win after another. And it's
share
been
some
ups
of
and
these
downs.
With us. Yeah. What are some of the biggest wins that you've had?
So we go from this girl can't leave her bed, right? Even with us, to we're dropping her off at a volleyball practice. We're dropping her off at a friend's house. To the average person, that's like no big deal. But for a PANS parent, I mean, that's
huge.
It was huge. I don't even remember where it was, the first place we dropped her off. I mean, I stayed there like this isn't going to last. As soon as she texts me, I'll be right here to take her home. And, you know, it came with some challenges because I think that she kind of had to overcome some, the word is, but she had to believe that she could do it. Like she felt good enough to do it, but she's got this history of 4 years now where she couldn't do it. And so she was kind of programmed to like, man, I don't think this is going to work. I feel like I can do it, but I don't think it's going to work. And so just kind of working through some of that. But man, this girl is just, she's kicking butt, man. She's playing volleyball, a ton of it. She's a leader out there. She's a stud. And I get to coach her. And I mean, so confident, so happy. She's making friends. She's got a normal, like messy teenage room now, which is funny to say, but before, like maybe that was kind of the OCD thing. Like that room was clean. Mm-hmm. I don't know if is that one thing we can bring back. Maybe is there a remedy that can like fix that?
Selective homeopathy.
Yeah, but man, just all the normal teenage stuff that we felt like was just robbed from her whole life.
Those are big wins. So yeah. I know that you guys are still not all the way through, and you're still in having some big ups and downs.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've talked so much about your daughter. It's so obvious how much you care about your family and your daughter. And you've got, you know, other kids, too. I'm sure this has affected everybody. So I'm curious if you could share, as you're still healing, still, you know, not all the way to recovered, but substantial progress has been made. I'm curious if you could share, like, the difference that's shown up for your family.
Yeah. The longer that we're kind of past the worst of it, the more I kind of see how much it did affect our whole family. And you know, there's probably some work we need to do there. You know, just the natural, if one kid's in crisis, the other two may get neglected a little bit. And it's not what we wanted, but it probably happened a little bit. But I've seen just new life everywhere. My son, he's out on his own now. He's going to get married in May. So we're adding a daughter-in-law that's just amazing. She's already part of our family. Thank you. And so our two daughters have started to get really close lately. The whole PANS thing really put a strain on that relationship for sure. But I just feel like we're kind of in a season of just kind of healing as a family. And it's definitely not done yet. I mean, it's still kind of new territory for us, even just some of the way we think about things and do things. We're so used to not being able to do some of these things just during that season. I mean, that was what we were called to do in that season. That's what I believe. Like my only job for these last 4 years was to be there for my daughter and my family and to get her well. And I'm okay with that. I wouldn't trade it for anything, to be honest with you.
It does require a certain amount of adaptation, though, as you're moving past that and things are okay and being able to be okay with things being okay because it's been not that way for so long and tiptoeing cautiously, but also like with great enthusiasm at the same time into all of these things that are normal life for so many people that they take for granted that a PANS family recognizes is not guaranteed for anybody that you're going to be able to just leave the house together or go see a movie or something, go to a birthday party, play volleyball.
Absolutely.
It's just, there's a whole different life that opens up for Pan's families as they start to heal. And it's complexity with it for sure.
Yeah. I want to back up just a little bit and share one of our big wins. And this kind of goes back to something that Bridget mentioned in our phone call when I told her that mold was an issue. And she's like, man, that was an issue for my daughter too. She quickly told me the story about how they had just recently discovered mold. I think it was a bathroom or something. And how back in the day that would have just sent her into a tailspin. But she goes, man, no problem. She had no issues with it at all. And I couldn't believe it. Like, I mean, we're so paranoid about mold. It was just terrifying. And how do we protect her from this? It's everywhere. If she leaves the house, she could go to a friend's house. So anyways, last year we went to volleyball nationals, stayed at an Airbnb that was in someone's basement and very clearly was moldy once we got there. And we were there for 3 or 4 nights. And so we left and we were kind of prepared for it. Like, all right, if it happens, we'll deal with it. But she had no issues. And that was shocking to me. So, and this was probably maybe 8 months into homeopathy. And that was when I really was like, okay, I think we're on the right path here, because that was kind of her pattern before. It would get better and then we'd get exposed somewhere. And bam, we're right back down to the bottom. And it never made sense to me. It's like, there's got to be more than just chasing mold and Lyme. And like, we're never going to solve this. Like, all this stuff is everywhere. So that's where homeopathy just really hit home for me. It's like, and I'm sure way oversimplifying it, but her immune system can take care of this stuff on herself, by itself at some point. Mm-hmm. And that made sense to me. Like, oh my gosh. And once I saw it actually happen at that Airbnb and the weeks afterward, I was like, just amazed. I'm still amazed. That was a huge, huge win.
For sure. And there's somebody who needed to hear that too, because like the mold stuff can be so overwhelming. And you're right. It is everywhere. You cannot just avoid mold for your whole life. We have to have our body responding appropriately to it.
Yeah, I love that you touch on susceptibility, which we did an episode. I don't remember what number it is, but that is the thing I think that we as parents have such a hard time understanding a lot of times, because we haven't heard about susceptibility. But before, when we're going through all the different various treatments and really, like, I wish somebody would have come to me and told me about susceptibility in the very beginning, because what you're talking about is exactly what we need. It's what our children's bodies need. We need to address the reason why they're reacting to everything. And as a club mom, there is, like, I know there is no traveling without being exposed to mold, because it's every season it is going to happen 100%. And really seeing that, it's eye-opening to see what susceptibility changed actually looks like. It's kind of like, whoa, like this thing really is possible.
Yeah. Yeah. And side note, we didn't burn down our house. We didn't throw away everything we own. We're still here. Obviously, the remediation was very important. Like, that had to be done.
I mean, it did.
I see a lot of posts out there where people are like, man, we're in mold. We're stuck in mold. I don't know if we can get out. And I feel for them, because it is a huge job. I mean, we had one room that was bad and they tore half our house apart. And I hear some of these stories where the whole house is riddled with it. And I feel for them, because it's tough, but getting that done was a huge part of it for sure.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So, Andrew, I want to talk about kind of the emotional journey for dads for a little bit. And I want to talk about this because I know that there's so many dads out there who are really struggling silently with so many aspects of Pans, from, you know, navigating parenting, from even believing in what they're seeing, and all of the emotions that come along with a kiddo that's struggling, and dad's position of being the fixer and not being able to fix the things. So a couple of questions about that. Starting at the very beginning, what was it like for you to come to terms with Pans? Did you believe in it in the beginning? Did you believe that the symptoms that your wife was explaining were happening?
You know, at the very beginning, I still kind of thought it was behavioral, where it's like, okay, we can fix this. You know, there'll be something, there'll be a know, let's get her in counseling. Let's get her in counseling, which I'm all for that. Don't get me wrong. But yeah, there was definitely a season where I was like, okay, there's something out there that can fix this. But I don't remember ever like doubting it. I mean, to me, I don't understand that. And I don't know if, I don't know, like my kid was obviously in crisis and we couldn't figure it out. And I don't think I ever really was fighting or disagreeing with anything. I mean, I didn't know, but it seems to be there are a lot of dads that I don't know if they don't, if they're not believing what they're seeing, or, I mean, what do you guys see in there?
We've heard a lot of parents that dads in particular feel like it's just behavioral and stick with it just being behavioral. And that I don't think that there's many that fully like, well, I mean, some fight, some, we have heard some that actually fight about whether PANS is legitimately it, or if they're just, if it's a mom that's being too easy and taking, they're being too easy on their kid and saying it's not a behavioral thing. And that can create some conflict. So it's mixed. I think some people do understand that a human who is doing their best and feeling their best is not going to be having a behavioral issue anyway. So there's always something underlying it. And yeah, but it can be hard for people. And sometimes they don't recognize that sometimes it is connected to themselves and their own feelings, as you shared before, of like how they might be failing, and that we can sometimes get caught up in like our kids not doing well and our own feelings about it, and failing to separate ourselves enough to say this is a person who is suffering that doesn't have anything to do with me and whether I'm being a good parent or a bad parent or what I need to do. And that can just get really complicated for a lot of people, especially if there's not an outlet to talk to somebody about it.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that probably was me a little bit, like the time where I'm like, all right, I'm going to be the tough parent. I'm going to take her to school. And then it just like destroyed me. Once I actually saw like how bad it was, I mean, I quickly realized like, okay, this is, something's going on here. I mean, this isn't her misbehaving. This is really, really intense. There's something going on that I don't know what it is, but I tend to think maybe some of these dads just kind of feel a little helpless. Because they want to fix it and there's no easy fix, and maybe they do just kind of withdraw. Man, I would just encourage them to, I mean, I never missed an appointment. I was at every single one. If I was out of state, it would somehow like, you know, FaceTime me in or whatever. But, I think just being present and being a support, even if you don't know what to do or what to say, if it was just me and my daughter, I can't imagine doing this alone. And I can't imagine my wife and her and my daughter having to do this without me. I cannot imagine that. I know there's single parents out there that, and man, hats off to them. But for our family, like I truly can't, we wouldn't have gotten through it without both of us. It was too much. It was too intense. It was too overwhelming. So yeah, these kids and these moms, they need their dads involved for sure.
Yeah. I love that you say that. I'm going to add a little bit to that. Like for anyone standing at the beginning of PANS, dad, it is okay if you have no idea what's going on. Every single one of us that has been through PANS, it's a huge learning journey. And not having the answers and just being there with your wife and your kiddo, moving through that learning and moving through trying treatments or whatever it might be, is just such an important role. And Andrew, it sounds like you did such a lovely job at just being there, supporting, learning along with your wife, moving through the treatments. And so I've heard you say a lot of like, you felt like you didn't, or you couldn't, or whatever. And all I hear you say is that like you were there, you were present, you were in it. And that is what your daughter's going to remember when you guys come out of this. She is going to remember that dad was there. Dad was present. Dad was supportive. He was trying so hard the whole time. That's all she's going to remember. In fact, the amount of doing and trying and shifting and adjusting that it sounds like your wife did will very likely, from my own experience, erase some of the trauma that your daughter would have had. And the majority of what she's going to remember is how you guys supported her through this. So like big hugs and high fives to both you and your wife, because it sounds like you guys were just an excellent team and you did you did good work together and you got her where she needed to be. And that's what really matters.
Man, thanks for saying that. I agree, even though I feel like I just fumbled my way through this. I really do. Like,
that's all anybody does with anything in life, though, right? Like, and that's,
yeah.
I think what we just need to all be okay with is that we see a problem and we want to support, we want to fix things. Moms too, right? We are also fixers. And we all just need to remember that all we can do is do our best and look, be curious and look for the answers and be open to what comes our way, right? And that we might be surprised that an answer shows up when we weren't expecting it or in a place that we didn't expect it. And have the willingness to be able to receive what support and answers and solutions we might need to get.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I want to ask one more dad-related thing. And we talked to my husband a little bit about this whenever he joined, but I want to hear your take on it, because dad is the disciplinarian, right? It's dad's job to like make sure we're respectful, make sure we're, you know, staying in line, all the things to support mom and the teaching and discipline and all of those type things. How did you handle this through PANS?
Oh, man, that's an interesting one. Yeah. And it's actually something I've thought about a lot lately now that she's doing better. It's like, I don't think we disciplined her once when she was sick. Like, there was no space for her to misbehave. I mean, it was just like everything was a crisis. We were just getting through each day. Man, in a lot of ways, I don't feel like I handled it well. Even in our own family context, I think I kind of shut down at times when I shouldn't have, just because I didn't know how to talk about it, didn't know who to talk to. And it was tough for sure. I don't know if I'm really answering this, but like I said, I truly feel like I just fumbled my way through, but I did my best to just keep showing up. And that's all a parent can do, really, you know. And even if you show up and you do the wrong thing or you say the wrong thing, there's grace for that. And there's the other parent there to help pick up your slack. And I feel like that's what my wife and I constantly did with each other and for each other. And there's times where it's like, I cannot deal with this tonight. I need you to step in. And that's what we did. That's how we got through it. And I will say that my daughter and I are incredibly close. Like, that's been an amazing fruit that's come of all this. What a blessing, man. That girl has been through hell, and she made it through. She kicked its butt. And so I don't know. I don't know if that answers that at all, Jody.
Well, but you didn't directly answer it, but you also answered it at the same time, because the answer that comes together with everything is that you stayed open and curious, and you didn't try to come down with an iron fist on anything, with maybe the exception of very early on where you needed to see the reality of what she was experiencing. That sounds like that's the only thing that you shared that had any iron fist flavor to it at all, that you then saw, no, she is suffering. And so you didn't try to discipline, you know, and discipline, people use it very, very differently. Some people use it to mean punishment. Some people use it to mean teaching. And the reality is, like, neither thing is going to be effective when somebody is having things that are caused by brain inflammation and by an immune system that is inappropriately attacking the body. So you can't discipline away, you can't teach away, you can't punish away anything going on with PANS. And it sounds like you didn't fail for not doing it. You accepted, like, something, you had an internal awareness, whether you now call it just a lack of capacity to do it, something led you to say, like, this is just not what we need to do. And so you just stayed open throughout. You were open to your wife when she made a decision, a pretty big decision unilaterally, but you stayed open and you came together over it rather than going separate ways and trying to have the solutions for all of the things. You were just working to facilitate getting there. I think it's beautiful. And I just have to say, your daughter, it's a weird thing to say in the context of something like PANS, but your daughter is very, very lucky as she is going to come through this. She is going to be set up to have the right expectations of what a man should be and how a man should show up for his wife and his family. And she is not going to accept something less than she deserves. And it's because of you, her first love, her first male relationship. And you showed what it means to show up for somebody that you love. And she's very lucky.
Thank you.
All right. I know this, you've shared an awful lot of like emotions through this, and I am so grateful that you were willing to pause and have it. So for anybody who's just listening and not seeing anything on the video, I could see the number of times that you just were there and living it and getting choked up. And I'm sure that going back and revisiting everything brings up a lot of feelings. And I'm very, very grateful that you were willing to demonstrate that it's okay to have those feelings and it's okay to not have all the answers and to be present for people. And I'm sure that there's got to be some advice that you would have offered yourself at the very beginning, or that maybe you're even realizing that you've offered yourself all along without knowing it. So I'm curious, just for any step along the way, from seeing this first show up in your child to exploring all of the different things that you considered, to leaning into homeopathy, to navigating the healing journey, what advice would you offer to parents and especially to dads?
Yeah, man. So I think the easy advice is just try homeopathy right away. But
I'm mad and stick with it. Be patient. Be patient with it.
Yeah. It seems like that's a lot of us, that's not the path that we took for whatever reason. And I would say, number one, just you can't lose hope. Like, there was times I truly, truly felt hopeless. But I never let my daughter see that. Like, I always, at least I hope she felt like, dad believes there's something else. Dad still has hope. And I would say, just, I tell my volleyball team this all the time, you know, there's lots of ups and downs. You got to stay steady. Like, if things go good, don't get too excited. If things get terrible, it's not the end of the world. Like, it's a long, steady journey, and just stay the course. And, you know, it's hard to imagine this when you're in the middle of hell trying to get your kid through this, but I truly would not trade these last 4 years for anything. I consider it just such a privilege that I got to father her through that. So just, I mean, if you're in the middle of it, I just would encourage you to just believe that there's hope, believe that you're going to get there, and just, you know, keep trying. Like I said, if you haven't found homeopathy yet, whatever you're doing, give it everything you've got. If that doesn't work, move on to the next thing, and just do not lose hope. And I think that's just kind of what kept us going. Just, we truly believed that somewhere, somehow, we were going to find something that was going to help her. And yeah. I don't know that I really have any. I just, that's my passion for parents out there that are hurting. It's just, I want them to somehow give them some hope that there is hope, that there is healing possible.
Yeah. Love that. Also too, I'm going to do a little foreshadowing for you here, because I like, the space that you're in now, I remember that very familiar or very, very well, like shifting into kind of life doing better. I firmly believe that we do not go through suffering without amazing, amazing lessons and really large, wonderful things that come behind it. And what I experienced is this like space of like trying to figure out what joy, like really allowing myself to feel joy and like the really cool things that my daughter was starting to do again. But then I also know this, there's this other space that you're heading for where you're able to reflect on everything and you start to understand all the like truly amazing blessings that happened, not only during the journey, but coming out of the journey. And so I know that's coming up for you and your wife and even your daughter. And it doesn't ever stop. I mean, my daughter's been recovered for years and years and years, and I am still mind blown by some of the things that have come from the struggles. I think one of the blessings that has come from your family's struggle is that you have shifted into this amazing supportive role. And I'm being selfish now, because this is a blessing to the PANS community. Your family's going to find a lot of blessings as you go, but specifically to the PANS community, you've taken such an active role in our Facebook group and supporting and encouraging and really just talking to families who are navigating this with their children. Can you explain why this is on your heart and why you feel like it's an important thing to do to really like get further in the journey and turn around and look back and give back to the community?
Yeah, for sure. I think it really boils down to somebody was that person for me. And I really wish I remembered who it was or what page it was on. And there's probably multiple ones, but the power of just, I mean, all the scrolling that you do, right, through all these pages, trying to find some kind of glimmer of hope or some kind of solution. And then all of a sudden you see one that just like stops your heart, and because it hits home and you're like, oh my gosh, that's me. That's my family. And that happened to me, it happened to my wife multiple times, where you see that and just a simple little comment or a story that can bring immense hope. And that's the beauty of, especially your guys' Facebook page. I mean, it's a very unique one compared to a lot of the ones that we've been on. I mean, you guys are in the trenches with these families, for one thing, and that's very uncommon. So that, I just, and it's funny, I was talking to my dad the other day. I don't remember telling him this, but he said that years ago I was talking to him, and apparently I told him that someday my daughter's story, we were going to use it to help some other families out. And I felt very strongly about that. And I still do. And it's, I mean, what a simple little thing for me to jump on there and write a story. I mean, that's nothing. But the power that that can have. And like I said, someone did that for me, and that's how I found you guys. And there's been a couple of things I've posted where there's been a comment that is like, okay, I'm calling RN tonight. And what a huge win. I mean, gosh, if one person finds you guys and finds some healing for their kid, I mean, so yeah, I'm pretty passionate about it. And some of the things I post, I look back, I'm like, oh man, that was too much, or that was too whatever, too detailed. But yeah, I think it's important. And I think just how far reaching a group like that is. I mean, I think someone in the Czech Republic commented back on one of my posts. And I mean, you guys, your footprint is everywhere. And it seems like there's a lot of people on the page that still don't know what, they're like, what is RN? Who is RN? And maybe aren't doing homeopathy yet. So maybe they were like me early on, where they found the page and they're just kind of, so to hear from a family that found healing, that found success, that found hope. Yeah. I would just love to see I'm going to keep doing that. And I'd love to see more parents do that.
You've truly become the lighthouse. You're showing families how to find true healing. You're helping families get to that space where you have moved into with your daughter. And it's awesome. It's such a cool thing to have a dad there doing that with us.
Me and the 10,000 pan moms.
But we love you, and we want other pans dads there too. Like, we love the dads. We love interacting with you guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just need to acknowledge that you are both lighthouses, right? You know, Jody, you were one that started 10 years ago, sharing all the things and talking to people and being willing to step up and reaching out with your heart to everybody, because you wanted to help every single person you possibly could. And you have. You've helped thousands of people, Jody. And Andrew, you're on your way. You've already helped for sure at least dozens, but you're on your way to helping hundreds and thousands of families because of your willingness to show up and share openly. I have never seen anything, at least in our group, that is too much. In fact, parents, the more that you share and the more detail people share, the more people can actually connect and see themselves and see their families and know more about who you are and that, you know, where you're coming from. And it's a huge deal. And I'm so grateful that you're willing to show up and that you're still showing up. And you're showing up here, and that you're showing up even on the times when you're having a bit of a setback, and you're acknowledging it and showing, like, you're demonstrating, you're living what hope looks like even in a hard period, and what resilience looks like even when you're going through one of the setbacks that comes as a natural part of the healing process with homeopathy, as the body is moving through the various stages of healing and going through ups and downs and having exposures and things that it needs to process and develop a better immune response to. I'm just so grateful for everything you shared today, for your willingness, your time, your generosity with the details you shared here, for the ways that you just, in our conversation today, and the way you show up in the group, and the way you show up for your family, that you are just living a living example for how to be present and get through a hard time with love and compassion. And a whole big, bright, shining light. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you guys. It's an honor to be on here. I think Jody called me about like an appointment reschedule or something, and all of a sudden ended up being talking about coming on the podcast.
Well, that's my fault, because I was like, Jody, I need to talk to him. I need to talk to him. I need to talk to him.
That's awesome. That's awesome, man. Like we talked about a couple times, what a lonely journey this is at times for parents. And like, we're the only PANS parents that we know other than on these Facebook groups. So man, what a blessing to have a group like that where someone could get on and find some hope and find some encouragement and find some other parents that are going through the same hell that they're going through. So
yeah,
I love it.
Well, Andrew, I got to tell you, I'm very much looking forward to the dad who comes up and is a guest for us in our next season, who we don't even know who that's going to be yet, but who mentions you as being someone who made it okay to show up and to be present and to be part of this in a way that maybe didn't feel okay before. I know for sure that somebody is going to be there, and I'm calling it out. We're going to have somebody on our next season who's going to mention you. Let's go.
I hope so. That's
all right. Well, thank you again so much. And I'm so happy to hear how well your daughter is doing. And I cannot wait to see everything about who she is able to become now that she is healing and moving through this and all of the ways that this is going to make her an even better leader. You said she's already a leader in the things she's engaged with, and it's just going to continue to improve and get better. And I'm just really so excited for everything that's to come for your family. So thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you guys.
All right. Take care, everybody.
All right. Bye, guys. Thanks.
We hope you found this episode helpful, hopeful, and inspiring. We would love to connect with you on social media and have you as part of our amazing community. You can find us on Facebook by searching for Homeopathy for Pans and Pandas.
If Facebook isn't your thing, you can also connect with us on Instagram and YouTube by searching for Resilience Naturopathic or clicking the links in our show notes. You can also visit our website, resiliencenaturopathic.com.
As always, we value your partnership in advocacy and education. Your support through following, sharing, rating, and reviewing our podcast is crucial in our mission to teach the world about PANS, PANDAS, and homeopathy. So if you found this podcast helpful, please leave us a review. Together, we are making a difference.
And finally, this podcast really is for you. Your questions and feedback help us make sure we are answering the right questions so you can feel confident making the next right step for your kids. Send us your questions or request guests by emailing us at podcast@resiliencenaturopathic.com, also linked in the show notes.